And I'm just going to pick back up with about verse 5, and then we'll see if we can make it the rest of the way down through there. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Jim, you lead us in a word of prayer, would you?
I was thinking this morning, Father, when they said, Lord, we don't know the way, and he said, I am the way. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of Moses when he talked to God, and he said, who shall I say has sent me? Mm-hmm. He said, tell him I am that I am. Mm-hmm. And here's Jesus in the New Testament saying, I am mm-hmm. the way. And a little poem started coming to me about, I am the seed of God, I planted deep in your side, and I'm growing and growing and growing. I work all through the day, I work all through the night, for I do things by my strength and by my might. I continue to grow and grow and grow. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that in this hour you're separating the wheat from the tares. This is the hour of harvest. And Father, it's the tares that's inside of us that you're pulling out, you're separating, you're showing us what our real identity is in this hour. There isn't going to be any more false identity. There's a people, God, in the church that are waking up as to who they are in Christ Jesus. Father, that's the reason why we're here this morning, Lord, to partake of more of this bread. You said that you're the bread that comes down from heaven, and we want the heavenly bread, Father. Yes. So, Father, we thank you what you're going to be doing in each and every heart here in this room and even out in the sanctuary, Lord, as they come to be partakers of the bread of life, Father. Father, we just trust and believe that we're going to leave with a little greater understanding of your image as to who we are, and the image of the old man is continuing to fade and fade in this hour. And we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you see any numbers on that? Is that in that box down there? Is there numbers showing up?
I can't tell if it's true. I just want to make sure.
Well, praise the Lord. We'll be in Psalm 84 today. We're going to pick up with verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. And you know, there's a few words in there that are italicized. And if you knock out a little bit of the italicized words, it says, blessed the man whose strength in thee, in whose heart the ways. And you're just talking about the way,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think when we realize that our strength really is centered in Christ, and we have no real strength of our own, mm-hmm. our strength is really weakness when you get right down to it. And, you know, but in his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And the next scripture I had written down there is John 14:6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, you know. So there is no other way, you know.
Did Jesus say, I am the way, the truth?
Please, Jesus, yeah. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father. And see, I've got that in yellow there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is no other way. And, you know, we can try a lot of different ways in our life. And what usually happens is that we find out after a while our ways are not his ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how high his ways are above ours. But the neat thing about it is when he shed his blood on Calvary, he gave us the ability to be able to walk in his way as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's sometimes it seems complicated, and to people that don't understand, a lot of times you listen to a lot of preachers and they make it very, very complicated, and it's really not very complicated. It's just a matter of you praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do today?
And trust
him. And trust him and walk in that way as much as you can, you know. And that's really all you have to do. You know, verse 6 says, who passes through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. And you know, that word baka means tears. And you know, a lot of times, I don't know about the rest of you all, but I've shed a lot of tears since I've been a Christian.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of tears, you know. And I still shed a lot of tears, you know, mm-hmm. about the things of the Lord and about even sometimes my shortcomings and, and my inability to sometimes seem like that I can walk with him as close as I'd like to and everything. But, you know, those things are all things that will help build us up, you know. And I say this, if you've never shed any tears in the Lord, I'm going to pray that you do, because you need to.
Yes.
Because, you know, he'll cause those things to be the very thing that will cause you to grow and mature in him,
yes.
you know. And, you know, and it goes on ahead and it says, he makes it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. And, you know, the rain is the teaching of the Holy Spirit, you know. And Hosea back there, it talks about him giving the latter rain and the former rain. And rain is always synonymous with making something grow. You know, if there's no rain, things will not grow. And the neat thing about it is that the Spirit of the Lord begins to so fill your life as the teaching rain comes to you. And it's the Holy Spirit who's really the teacher. It's not any person. He uses people to do it, but it's actually the Holy Spirit, because unless he gives you ears to hear what the Spirit would say, you're not going to hear it anyway. It's going to actually a lot of times sound like foolishness to you, to the natural man. But yet, the neat thing about it is he's chose the foolishness of preachers and teachers to a lot of times to build you up. And, you know, I sometimes kind of cringe when I look at what the church does at times. And rather than building people up so that they can be ministers themselves and telling them that they are ministers, it's like they want to hold them right in a position, you know, want them to just sit and listen to just one person or whatever it is, you know, and hold them back. Well, that's not what it's all about. God's wanting us all to grow up. And as we grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we won't be tossed to and fro anymore by the sleight of men or cunning craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive. But we'll speak the truth in love, and we'll grow up into him in all things. And that's what really all about, the rain and the water of God. And, you know, Jesus with the woman at the well, he said to her, you know, he told her to give him a drink. And she said, how is it you being a Jew asked me, a Samaritan, to give him a drink, you know, because they were enemies and basically in the natural. And he said, woman, if you knew who I was, I love that. He said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me to give me you. And he was planning on giving it to her anyway, but he said, you'd ask me. And, you know, he said, the water that I'll give you will be a well springing up from within that you know, and it's going to create a river or water that's going to cover the whole earth, you know. And, you know, the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Praise the Lord. But, you know, a lot of times we're not crazy about passing through that valley of Baca, the valley of tears. But I tell you what, joy always comes in the morning, and it does. And we've all been in situations where we've shed a lot of tears. And if you walk with the Lord very long, you're going to shed a lot of tears, you know. And they're good tears, and because they bring growth, you know. Anybody else got anything they want to say before I go on to the next one? Okay, let's pick up with 7 then. It says, for they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. And you know, a lot of times we go from strength to strength. God builds us up. And then it seems like there'll be something that'll kind of come along a little bit that'll kind of tear us down a little bit. You know, you ever notice that? You'll get built up and you'll be going along real good in God. And then something will come along And it just kind of, either you feel like you failed God in some way, or, you know, you said something or did something that you thought you shouldn't have done or whatever, and you get tore down a little bit. And then it seems like he'll come back along and he'll give you something to build you up again. But, you know, I think the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. And if you ever watch a bodybuilder, what they do is they literally lift weights, and they lift weights to the point that they tear their muscles. They actually tear the muscle. And man, if you haven't lifted weights before, the next day you are sore. You can't hardly move if you get it to that point, and to where you strain yourself where you can't hardly lift anymore. Well, then you have a day or two of kind of recovery, and then you work, and bodybuilders will work different parts of their body. They'll work maybe their shoulders one day and their biceps, and another day they'll work their legs, and they don't do too much in the other areas, but they give themselves a chance to recover. And a lot of times, you know, the way it is with the Lord, as we go from strength to strength, in between the strength is the time of tearing down. And it's the time of recovery, actually. Because, to be honest with you, if God just gave us constant revelation all the time, we'd get so puffed up we couldn't get our head through that door there, you know. And he has to really let us know that, yes, we are what he says we are, but also he lets us know our fame and that we're but dust. And without him, we're nothing, you know. And I love that he does that with us, because one of the prayers that I used to pray a lot when I was a real young Christian, I used to pray and say, Lord, please don't let me move into ministry before I'm mature enough to handle it, you know. And so many times people will take a young Christian and they'll throw them out there and try to get them out there witnessing and doing all this stuff right away. And they're like throwing them to the wolves. Because the children of this generation are wiser than the children of light in their own generation, you know. And in the sense that I've seen young people out, and I've actually been in department stores before, or, you know, like I think Van Loonen's one time I was over there. And this young boy was trying to witness to these people he was working with. Man, they were eating him alive. And I was just standing there. I felt like going over and taking him aside and saying, brother, back off. Just wait until the Lord has you witness. You know, because it wasn't the Lord having him witness. He was telling them they were going to burn in hellfire. And, you know, he was giving them down the road, you know what I mean? And man, they were eating him up. And I was just, I had to kind of, well, I felt sorry for him, but I also thought, who told this young boy to go out and do that yet? You know, I'm sure it wasn't God, you know, but whatever church he was with, they throwed him out there to the wolves, you know.
His heart was in the right place, but he wasn't.
He didn't have the wisdom, and he didn't have the understanding yet, yeah. You know.
And that's the way it is with many. You're so excited, right, about what you've just received, and it's like you want everybody to receive it, but you don't have the wisdom. Yeah, what's your definition of childlike faith but manlike wisdom?
Right,
you know,
right.
If you have childlike faith, that's always good, but couple that with manlike wisdom,
right,
then you're okay.
Right.
You're going to wait for the Lord, and then you're going to move.
Well, that verse again, it says, they go from strength to strength, every one of them, in Zion appeareth before God. And the word Zion there, if you kind of look that word up, it has the meaning of a waymark. A waymark. And, you know, we know it was a mountain over in Israel and all that, but it also has the meaning of a waymark. And, you know, Israel's, in Hebrew, all the languages run from right to left. We read from left to right. So think about it, waymark. The way. This is the mark that you're pressing toward, the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And follow the way mark, you know. And, you know, when it says there in verse 7, it says, in Zion they appear before God. That word appear there, that's not a very good translation there. And the word should be, they see God. It's see. And it's S-E-E.
I like how the message has it. Yeah. Started finding, and how blessed all those in whom you live. whose lives become roads you travel. They wind through lonesome valleys, come upon brooks, discover cool springs and pools brimming with rain. This is verse 7. God travel these roads, curve up mountain, and at last turn Zion, God in full view.
Yeah, that's good. That's really a little more accurate translation.
I love that Message Bible.
Yeah, a little more accurate, but like that word appeareth, it actually is the word to see.
Yeah.
And you know, when something appears, when we see him as he is, we'll be like him. So we're changed from glory to glory as we see him, you know. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But we go from strength to strength, you know. And in between the strength is a time of recovery, usually, to be honest with you. It's just like I said about bodybuilding. You've ripped your muscles, they're hurting, they're sore, and then you have to recover from that. And a lot of times it's a time where God brings you back down a little bit. He lets you know, man, this thing's still all about me. It's not about you. You know, it's about what I'm doing in you, but it's about me, you know.
And the Amplified has said, after that strength to strength, increasing in victorious power.
Mm-hmm. That's good, yeah. And I was looking at the Amplified. A lot of these verses are really great in the Amplified, you know. But I just kind of looked at them and tried to break down some of the words in a little bit.
How's that song go? Little by little, he's changing me. Precept.
Line upon line, he's changing me. Precept by precept, until I'm free. Jesus, my Lord, is changing
me. That's when
me.
You're free.
Yeah, I love
he
that.
He does the changing.
You know, I love that scripture. It's back in Isaiah chapter 28, I think it is. And what it says there, and he says that's where they got that song.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on and says, and they would not, and they fell back, you know. And you think, oh, man, Lord, don't let us be some of the ones that would not.
Yeah.
You know, let us be some of that press on into you and go through the changes, you know.
Part of that song, I don't know whether it's part of or something that God gave me one time, is it was a little by little thing. When you said all about free, he was saying, till all may see, this came from
yeah,
in that part of it, Christ only, always living in me.
I think that was part of the song.
Of
yeah,
it.
I believe that is the other part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Those are great songs. We need to sing them songs.
Especially for this hour.
Yes, those are great.
Back then we didn't have the vision. I mean, we had the vision of what was going on, but now the vision is even clearer and greater. It's expanded.
Verse 8 here says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Shelah. And you know, I honestly believe that God always hears your prayers, but we aren't always tuned in to hear the answer. You know, sometimes we don't like the answer,
that's
you
it.
Know, so we don't
that's
want
it.
To hear the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think if we approach the Lord and we pray and we ask him to hear our prayers, what we should say is, Lord, give me ears to hear what your spirit would say to me, you know, because that's what we really need to do. Verse 9 says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. And you know, we know that Christ in us is the hope of glory. And the word Christ actually means the anointed, you know. And we know that partially in the Old Testament, some of these scriptures were talking about Jesus. But you know, scripture tells us, as he is in this world, so are we. And we are these things too. And it's also talking about us. And, you know, he's our shield. He's our protection, you know. He's our hiding place. He's all of those things. And you know, we're to take the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and be shod with the preparation of the gospel, you know, and the sword of the Spirit and all those different things, you know. And, you know, he used things that, even in those scriptures, he used things that we could understand because we could see a picture of that, you know, in the natural. But it's all spiritual things, you know. Praise God.
It also says, And he said, behold our shield, and he said, the king as your agent.
Mm-hmm.
So we are his agent, we're representing him. That's why we meet many times, because our representation has not been glorifying him.
That's right.
Or he being seen in what we're saying and doing.
Yes. You know, it says, in verse 10, it says, for a day in the courts is better than 1,000 years. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And you know, in Psalm 104:5, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And you know, the courts of God, I got news for you. You are his courts. You're his temple. You're all of those things. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you know, a lot of times, if we'll just enter into his presence and begin to praise him, and praise even in the situations, you know, I'll have to admit, I was driving down the street the other day, coming out here on Tylersville, and I'm going 45 miles an hour. You know, the speed limit's 40. I'm actually going 5 miles over the speed limit. Because sometimes I'll drive 5 miles over the speed limit. I try not to go much faster than that. This guy comes up behind me, and he's in a Jeep, you know, a big Jeep with big wheels. He comes right up on my tail a couple different times, and I'm tough to say it was aggravating. You know, I was getting a little aggravated. And, you know, I looked in the mirror, and I told Margaret, I said, man, that aggravates me. I said, because if I had to stop or something, pull up, he would run right in the back of me. But he's so close.
He had big enough tires, he'd roll right up.
Well, he'd probably crush my car, you know. He had pretty big tires on that thing. So I just kept on driving at the same speed. I gets down to the light. I got my turn signal on. So he flashes me the bird, you know. So, I mean, I'm going 5 miles over the speed limit, you know what I mean. And I told Margaret, I said, I just have to, I said, it really irritates me. You know, years and years ago, I might have pulled out of there and went right behind him, you know, and caught
him
in the next
light. What you would have first done is you would have slowed down to 35 miles an hour while you were driving.
I'll have to admit, years and years ago, I had to my brakes a few times.
You gotta be real good. You don't tap them, you slam them on them. See how fast you react.
But, you know, but I told Margaret, I said, boy, that irritates me. And I was thinking, you know, I shouldn't have let that irritate me. I should have just been saying, Lord, bless that young man. He's very, obviously, he's very,
something's
eating
him.
At him, where he thinks he should be bullying somebody driving down the road.
It's just the old man.
And he could have pulled out and went around me. I mean, the thing is if you're going to go way over the speed limit, what's the difference about going across a solid yellow line? You can see all the way down the road. I mean, if you're going to break the law, might as well break the law and go around me, you know. But I told Margaret, I says, that just aggravates me. And I thought, well, it shouldn't have really aggravated me. And I felt like I failed in that. I thought,
Victor is the word.
you'd have failed if you returned the favor.
Well,
it must be a rat.
Well, I first thought about pulling up next to him with a light and asking him, was that all they could count to was one? But I thought,
it must be a rationale. Somebody flipped me off the other day, too. So.
But, you know, people are irritated. They're really irritated.
But you know what I've learned to do? Yeah. When something like that's happening, I don't ever look over.
Yeah.
I don't ever look. I mean, I know this guy's agitated me because I'm driving too slow.
Yeah.
I will never give him my eyes.
Yeah.
You know, I keep my eyes looking straight ahead. And I will not look over.
He never did pull beside me. But
I will get upset.
He was behind me all the time, you know. And it's a single lane going down Tylersville there, you know. And when I got up to the light to turn right, you know, before I slowed down as I was getting, I had my turn signal on, and I glanced back, and he was throw me the bird, you know, and I thought,
I won't give him the time of day.
I told Mark, I said, that irritates me.
There was a woman behind Tobias once, and he's on, and Ryan kept riding on the back of him, and she had her phone in one hand talking, and a sandwich in the other. And she kept riding up, and Tobias said, "Who's driving?" He was saying, "Well, I'm going to have to stop this." So he hit his brakes, she goes, "Done all this."
Sandwich went flying.
She did this, and then she just backed off. He said, "Boy, hands went flying." Mm-hmm. But she was on the phone, and he said, "I said to myself, who's driving?" Yeah, and he thought it was funny.
The little test that comes
our way. Exactly, yeah.
And you know what? A lot of times, you think you're past getting irritated over stuff like that, and you're not. It just depends. It depends on what kind of mood you're in. And I happen to not be in the greatest mood driving out there anyway. But I actually was going 45 miles an hour because, I mean, I've looked down, and the speed limit's 40 out there, you know. So I was going 5 miles over the speed limit. But, boy, I wasn't going fast enough for him.
Yeah, I was listening to...
I have pulled over before if there was a place where I could pull over and let somebody go by me. Mm-hmm. But there's no place to pull over going down through there, you know, because it's just this little narrow road, and there's no side roads or nothing. So
I'm the same way when I'm, like, in a mall, when I'm walking, and you can hear people, and they're in such a hurry, and I can almost feel their... hitting the back of my heel. I can't stand to have somebody walking behind me that's in such a hurry. And I'll have to push him with me. I gotta let him go. Just please get away from me.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Okay, let's go over the rest of that scripture. It says, for a day in the courts is better than 1,000 years. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And, you know, like I say, you are his courts, and we need to make sure that we keep those courts filled with praise. And what I really should have been doing there was praising the Lord. And I should have asked the Lord to bless that young man, because he obviously was very irritated. I let myself get irritated, and I shouldn't have. But, you know, also where it says there, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Yes. You are a doorkeeper. Mm-hmm. Because in Psalm 24:6-10, it says, "This is the generation of them that seek thy face, O Jacob, Shelah." And we say Shelah, he's saying, pause and take notice, you know. And he's saying, "Lift up your heads, ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Shalom. And you know, we have to realize that we know that Scripture says we're the temple of God, and we also know that he's also telling us that we should lift up our head as being gates. And what are gates for? They're to be open to invite somebody to come in, or they're to be closed if there's something that shouldn't come in. You know, what are doors for? Same thing. Doors are something that open, and when they open, you're inviting somebody to come in. You know, Jesus said in Revelations, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, you know, I'll come in and sup with him, and he with me," you know. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're a door of entrance to people that we come in contact with. That basically we open the door and let them see the Lord. Not us, but God in us, you know. And the King of, it says, if we lift up our heads, in other words, if we lift up our thoughts and we lift up our attitudes and our motivations and all those things, you know, into the right realm, which we don't always do that. There's times when we don't, you know. But we need to consciously say, "Lord, help me to do this. Help me to lift up my head. Help me to lift up my thoughts and my intentions and all these things."
What verse is that?
Please.
What verse is that?
That's Psalm 24, 6 through 10. Yeah, that's the one that says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity." You know, but I didn't read the whole psalm. Mm-hmm. But how do you get clean hands?
Yeah.
And how do you get a pure heart? There's only one way you can get clean hands and one way you can get a pure heart. Just like David prayed in the Psalms after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, he said, "Create in me, O God, a clean heart." God's the only one that can make you have a clean heart. He's the only one that can make you have clean hands. You know, because we can't do it in ourselves. If we did, we wouldn't need Him. But thank God we do need Him. And thank God that He is the Creator. And what we can do is try to yield to whatever He's doing in our life. That's our part of it. That's all we have to do, is basically yield to the things that He tries to accomplish in us. But if we'll lift up our heads, lift up our thoughts, even unto Him, and not let the natural mind get in there, and let the spiritual mind, we have the mind of Christ, Scripture says, you know. But I'm going to read that one time. It says, "This is the generation," verse 6, "This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Shelah." And that shouldn't be Jacob. That should be really God. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a misnomer there. "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Mm-hmm. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And you know, anytime God repeats something, you know, it's pretty important. And I mean, He inspired the psalmist to repeat that twice, you know, there. And I guess He's saying now, pay attention, stupid. I said it once, I'm going to say it again. You know, pay attention, you know. And a lot of times we have to have it repeated to us a couple of times before we really pick up on it.
Verse 7, I think I would like it better if it would have said, "Lift up your head, mm-hmm. O you gates."
Mm-hmm.
He's the head.
Mm-hmm.
"Lift up your head,
yeah.
O you gates."
Well, when He's saying, well, that's good too. But when He's saying, "Lift up your heads," He's including everybody,
yeah.
You know, and it, you know, if you make it singular, then it you're talking about God, but He's talking about we have the ability to lift up ourselves into the presence of God. And how do we do that? What it said up there, entering His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, you know, and with praise, you know, that kind of thing. Because He inhabits the praises of His saints. And if we'll do that, then our thoughts begin to elevate into Him. That's why praise is so important. And a lot of times we can't emphasize it too much. And I know a lot of times if you, you know, it seems like people will say that and say that and say that to people. But it's the fact that we don't do it enough as we should. You know what I mean? You know, and when that scripture says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And, you know, if we'll give thanks in everything, that's we're fulfilling His will. If we'll be we'll be praising Him in everything and thanking Him in everything, even in bad things, you know. If I'd have been doing the right thing coming down the road the other day, I would have said, "Lord, thank you that young man's behind me and I get a chance to pray for him." You know, but I was in a kind of a bad mood driving down the street. I had to admit it. You know, so I let it irritate me and I let it get to me. And did I show Christ's nature there? No, I showed Oscar's nature, you know. I mean, you know, if it had been a few years earlier, like I said, I'd have probably pulled out one. Followed him down the street. I probably pulled over and went behind him, you know. But no, God's changed me in that sense. I got enough sense not to do that anymore. But you know,
and yet all in God's good time.
Yeah.
If you just don't know what you stopped from having happened to him. Mm-hmm. He could have gone flying down that road, and God bless you.
Absolutely. He might have.
Nobody's ever going to know
right.
what he was saved from.
That's right. The doorkeeper.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's true.
He could have rolled that car and gotten killed or maimed or hurt.
That's absolutely
and
true.
And God placed Oscar there because, you know, yeah. it would slow him down and not change his course.
Yeah.
And maybe he didn't like it, but he doesn't know what was
yeah.
the,
and I don't know either. And
no,
that's the thing. We don't know what
will.
God's doing in situations and circumstances.
All
with us.
We can do is
yeah.
thank God in everything.
Yeah. yeah. But see, where I would be concerned more would be if I didn't feel bad about the way I reacted. You know what I mean? Because if I, well, bless God, I was justified. well, then I would be really concerned about it. Or maybe I wouldn't, but I should be if I was, had that attitude.
Can I resist from the Amplified?
Sure.
It said, this is the generation, the description of those who seek him, mm-hmm. who inquire of, and for him, and of necessity require him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Mm-hmm. And then down here where it talks about the gates, it says, lift them up, the, O you gates, you age abiding doors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think
that's good. Well, see, that's the thing. We have to realize, Jesus said, that he was the door. He was the initial door. He said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. You know, nobody can come in unless I let them come in, you know. And, you know, he's the protector. But also, we become the same. He says, like I said, such as I am, so are we, you know. We become what he is. And we become doors also, and we have the opportunity to open the door and to show the nature of Christ, or we have the opportunity to open the door and show our carnal nature, you know, which we have to reckon that thing to be dead. And but what we find out sometimes is every once in a while we resurrect it a little bit.
Then all you have to do is just keep the door shut, and it'll be there all the time.
yeah.
You got to open the door and keep the door open.
The neat thing about it is that, you know, the Lord has a way, like I say, of he'll build you up, and then he lets you get torn down a little bit, too. And you know, there's always some deconstruction in the midst of construction. You know what I'm saying?
Which is all construction.
It's all construction in the finality, yeah. And I saw that, an example of that, when they were building a couple of walls on a building behind that house where I used to live. They built this huge brick wall. I mean, really tall is about the front of the church, you know, out there. Huge brick wall. They were going to put a business back there. And it was like right on my property line. And the corner of it was. They built it, but they didn't shore it up. They didn't put braces. A windstorm came and blew it down. I mean, and when it blew it down, the person next door, he had a big awning on the back of his patio. It ripped that awning clean off because the force of that wind when that thing came down, it went up underneath his metal awning and just ripped it completely off, you know. Well, what happened was they didn't shore it up when they built it, which they would have had to tear down it once they got the other walls up, you know, because it would have been bracing it. And there's always some deconstruction in the midst of construction. There always is. And, you know, you always have to put ladders up or do something as you're building something, you know. So even in the natural, we have to realize that God's building us up into a holy temple. He's also, you know, I love the scripture in the Old Testament. When Solomon was building the temple, he was told that there was not to be the sound of a hammer on the building site. Now imagine that. You're building the temple, but yet you can't make the sound of a hammer. In other words, when you bring the stones in there and put them together, they have to fit. So what happens? So what does that mean? That means out of the building site, they were being worked on. So sometimes when it's your next door neighbor who's doing something in your yard or letting his dog go to the bathroom in your yard or the kid down the street's breaking into your car or whatever it is, guess what? God's using that person as a hammer to do a little chipping on you, to work on you a little bit, so that when he brings you into the building site, you can fit into the place that you're supposed to fit perfectly. And it's a glorious thing, and yet, you know, a lot of times if we're not careful, he has master craftsmen to work on you. Sometimes they're Christians, and sometimes they're not Christians. I God showed me that one time. I had a boss at another company where I worked. That guy could push every button in me. Oh man, he could get me going. I'm telling you, I don't like when people are real rude to me, you know. And I had an operation that I did on parts in a machine shop where it was one of the finish operations. It was next to the last operation that was done before the things were assembled. And a lot of times when I got the parts, if there was a mistake on the part, I could see that it wasn't right. And rather than let it get all the way to assembly and them start putting it together and everything, I would say something to the boss. I'd say, well, this dimension's off. This length's off or this is off. Even though I didn't do it, you know what I mean? I would stop it, try to stop it to save them money. Well, the boss that I had, he would rip the print out of your hand, maybe throw the part on the floor, go off cussing, rather than saying, well, thanks for showing it to me or stopping it here. And he used to be an assembler, so you'd think that he would have said, thanks, you know.
But, is that what we do with God? Yeah. When he shows us?
Sometimes. But you know what? I worked for that guy for a long time, and I had a situation one time where I had bad coolant in my machine and it was stinking and it actually smelled like a sewer. And that stuff was blowing on me, you know, as I was running the machine. And I said something to him about getting it changed, because we had porters that did that, you know. And I said something to him about getting it changed. And he let it go for about a week. And I'm standing there about a week with this stuff blowing all over me all day. And I just got furious after a while. So I went and got the pump that was going to pump it out myself. And I had a 55-gallon drum. I pumped all this old coolant into this 55-gallon drum. But I didn't know that there was supposed to be a valve that you had a pop-up valve. And I didn't set the pop-up valve to pop up when it got full. And when it got full, it sucked the barrel in and the whole 55 gallons collapsed. And it fell over and got all over me. Well, I was just fit to be tired. He come over there and he said something to me, and I said, don't say another word to me. I would have knocked him dead in the floor and jumped on him and beat him up. I mean, you know, I was that mad. I mean, I was about 25 years old. I mean, I was young. You know, I was about 25 years old. And I was a young person. And I'm telling you, I was just absolutely furious. And I said, don't say a word to me. I said, because if you do, that's it, buddy.
He's going to be collapsed.
And he was an older guy, you know. And you know, I wouldn't have wanted to hurt him, but I was so mad back then it wouldn't have made no difference at that point. But, you know, I went and told the shop superintendent, I said, I want out of this department. I don't want to work in this department no more. I was really mad. Oh, Oscar, he said, you're one of our best employees. He said, you know, we might have to take a look at him and all this and that. I went home and the Lord started dealing with me. Lord beat me up so bad. Wow. Man, I'm telling you the truth. I come in the next day and I went in there and talked to the shop superintendent. And I sat in there and I told him, I said, I want to apologize to you. I said, I'm really sorry for the way I acted yesterday. I said, because I told him I was going to quit if he didn't move me out of the apartment. And I told him, I said, I owe you an apology. I said, the thing that bothers me the most about the whole situation is that I'm a Christian and I shouldn't have reacted the way I did. And he says, well, Oscar, he says, you know, you're one of our best employees. He said, I don't want to lose you or anything. And I said, well, I said, you know, but I did bid out that department eventually. But every time I turn around, God would put that guy back with me. I'd go on the night shift. He'd come on be the night shift foreman. He's a day shift foreman. He'd come on be the night shift foreman. And what happened was the Lord let me know after a while, he started changing me. I'd pray, oh, God, change Bill. Oh, God, change Bill. He never did change Bill, but he changed me. After a while, Bill couldn't push the buttons no more. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff that God does.
You now, might go out there and Bill be sitting in the congregation today. Yeah.
Now, let me go ahead and finish up these last couple verses here, and we'll close. It says, for the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory.
I love that.
Because grace was even involved back there, you know. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Mm-hmm. You can only walk uprightly as he allows us to walk uprightly. We can't do it in our own strength. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And you know what? That's the only thing that makes us blessed, is by showing our trust for him. Mm-hmm. Everything else in life will fail you, but he's the only thing that will never fail you. He's the only thing that you can trust in. And you know, I love that even on our money, and I know they've been trying to get it off there for years, where it says, in God we trust. And I'm going to tell you what, you know, if we're not careful and we let them do stuff like that, this country is going down the tubes. And, you know, I just did a wedding yesterday, and on my certificate that I got from the state to perform, to solemnize marriages, State of Ohio, right on there, it says, with God all things are possible. And so that's from the state.
Oh, yeah.
That's a state motto. Now, let me tell you, folks, we can't allow them to take all that stuff away. Because if they do, man, that's not good. Praise the Lord. Rich, would you close the word of prayer? We'll close this down.
Precious Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your grace, we are in dire need of. Father, we just we thank you that you afford us the opportunity to be the doorman, the door person. Mm-hmm. You showed me while we were studying into this that a door person is a servant, mm-hmm. has a servant's heart, yes. to guide them and direct them and lead them
right.
to the right door, to yes. the way that we talked about earlier. And Father, that you sent your son as a servant. And so no better example than Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so, Father, we just thank you that you've done it all. And now it's up to us to, little by little, change and keep changing yes. into your image and into your glory. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity of fellowshipping and opening your word, Lord, and Father, we just ask you to bless the service, and Lord, bring your anointing and might.